What do you say to a caregiver? How do you help a caregiver?
I was talking to this billing agent at the doctor's office and I said, how are you feeling? And she said, oh, great, it's Friday. And before I could catch myself, I said, Friday means nothing to me. Every day is Monday. And I felt kind of ashamed of that. And I'm sorry for that. But I realized that whole principle of every day is Monday, what that means for us as caregivers. We know that this is going to be a challenging day. And I wrote these 1-minute chapters that you literally could read them in 1 minute. And I'm really proud of this book. It's called A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. It's filled with bedrock principles that we as caregivers can lean on, that we can depend upon to get us to safety, where we can catch our breath, take a knee if we have to, and reorient our thinking and the weight that we carry on our shoulders. If you don't know what to say to a caregiver, don't worry about it. I do. Give them this book.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. I'm joined today by a special guest, Dr. Elizabeth Landsberg. She is triple board certified in internal medicine, geriatric medicine, and palliative care medicine, and also the founder of Elder Consult Geriatric Medicine and Dr. Liz Geriatrics, which I like her name there, Dr. Liz. And we're glad to have you with us. Dr. Liz, I will call you Dr. Liz. Welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Well, thank you, Peter. I am doing wonderful today. I have got a good Wi-Fi connection, and I'm so excited to talk to you and your listeners because, you know, thank you for the work you do on top of your absolutely full plate. You know, this is important information and support to get out for many families.
Well, let's jump right into it. Tell me, what do you see when you look out across the country on our healthcare system?
Well, you know, there's many levels that we could talk about. We could talk about big business taking over and the monopolization of, like, our prescription drugs are 2.5 times more expensive than other countries, that a lot of private organizations have bought up rural hospitals and then closed them down, that doctor's offices have been bought up and then access to care, as well as insurance, you know, denying needed procedures and also making doctors jump through hoops just to get authorization for common medications is really making a difference. Oh, and I didn't even mention, you know, all the stress of COVID. But I would want to focus on, you know, the dementia aspect of it. You know, we've got the silver tsunami. I'm at the end of the baby boomers, and we're the number of folks over the age of 80 is going to be increasing quite a bit. I mean, on the one hand, we're blessed that we're living longer. You know, my grandpa died when he was 62. But on the other hand, the incidence of dementia over the age of 65 is 10%. Over the age of 85, it's 50%. So we just have to be ready. And I find families really struggle when someone's behavior starts to change, their thinking starts to change, particularly if they've been wealthy or powerful or always in charge. You know, no one wants to challenge them. But they might start, you know, taking risks, like, you know, paying for a contractor to come in who just walked in off the street, and that can cost thousands of dollars, or someone can swindle them or get access to their bank account. Or, you know, the other thing that's heartbreaking is to see that when someone's brain starts to have damage, that changes their personality. It can make them more irritable. It can make them more irrational and delusional or paranoid. And then people start to say, well, you know, Uncle Joe is just a nasty old man and I just don't want to see him. Or, you know, my husband is just being so horrible. I want to divorce him. And I really feel for the elder going through this because, you know, there's nothing inside that says, oh, I have dementia and that's what's causing this. They often aren't aware of what's going on. And our healthcare system is not set up for elder people. There's only 3,500 geriatricians in the country of 330 million people. So you're not going to get doctors who recognize that there's a problem. They might just say, oh, well, Uncle Joe is kind of old and, you know, that's just the way it is. Or if they do the testing, you know, the mini mental status exam or the MoCA, you know, as long as your test score is over 24, they'll say, yep, you're okay. But you can have lost your capacity to take care of your medical issues, to take care of your financial issues. And you can end up in ruin with a score of 30 over 30. So my hope is to
get help
out to the families. Yeah.
You mentioned something in a conversation we had earlier that criminals recognize this before others. Tell me about that.
So that is one of my talks. Criminals diagnose dementia faster than doctors. And it's not because, you know, they're just better clinicians. I don't know about you, but I've gotten a bunch more scam emails and such now that I am, you know, over 50. And so they're phishing. And what they do is they might, you know, there's one scam of, you know, send in $50 and we'll send you a big flat screen TV, or give us, you know, information on your bank account and we're going to wire you $1 million. It's the inability to have that risk sense. And it doesn't mean that if you fall for a financial scam that you have dementia. It can happen to a lot of people who don't have it as well. You know, look at Bernie Madoff. What a great name, huh? And
he made off with a lot of money.
He certainly did. But if you've lost your judgment and insight and your ability to calculate and your reasoning, then you're at much higher risk. And so the quick and dirty thing that I do when I meet people is I ask them, what kind of medical problems do you have? What medications do you take? Draw a clock that says 11, 10, and calculate 25% of $22.50. So if you can't do those, you're in trouble.
I'm concerned about most of the people in this country that can't calculate 25% of $22. but that's a different issue that we need to.
I hear you, but the thing is, you know, when you're talking about someone who's in charge of their retirement accounts and no one else is helping them with their banking and they can't calculate that, you know, there's a problem and something needs to be done. And the challenge is to find a doctor to help. And what I'd suggest, I mean, I'm working to develop an online community to talk about this at drlizgeriatrics.com, where, you know, we'll have kind of the Facebook like threads to talk about it. We'll have support groups a couple times a month, and then a training module with CEUs for assisted living, care managers, nurse practitioners, blah, blah, blah. That's in the works, hopefully coming out this fall. But and then I got my book. Well, we'll talk about that later. But finding help, I think I'd go for an academic medical center with geriatricians, if you can find it. You know, the medical schools are probably the best. Oh, and the VA. The VA has got a really good system. I mean, they realized that they were going to have a lot of old soldiers. And so they've got, you know, a lot more of the geriatric resources relative.
You know, they get castigated quite a bit, but there's a lot that goes on in the VA that is worthy of celebrating and that they'd get right. I know that they take a hit from a lot of folks, but just a shout out to them that there are some things that they are doing that are tremendous. I've got a lot of military members in my family who are finding that out. And so, you know, people will always grumble, but let's look for those positive things that we can bank on. Tell us a little bit about your book, Living in the Moment.
Well, my mom had dementia, frontal dementia in her 60s. And, you know, when I was younger, it was scary and it was really difficult. And socially, she'd sound fine, but she'd just do these bizarre things and get herself in trouble and get people all riled up. And
you just described most of my life. So
So frontal dementia means... I hear you. Frontal dementia means your judgment is off. You socially sound okay. So if you just meet her, you know, at the grocery store, you wouldn't know. But then, you know, like she can't take care of the house and, you know, she's not paying her bills, not taking her medicines, those sorts of things that can cause all sorts of problems.
Is that what inspired you to not just write the book, but the whole line of medicine that you're in? Was that part of the driving force behind that?
Yeah, that. And then my grandma, who was, you know, this little firebrand, she ran a house. She lived in northern Minnesota. They ran a farm, and she, you know, took care of herself until her late 80s and then died when she was 96. And so, but she had a lot of aches and pains and medical problems. So I realized that, you know, I wanted to do more for folks who are a little bit more, who are having more challenges. And so that's how I got into it. And then for the book, I just, you know, saw that things are done wrong all the time. Like everyone I talk to has got an elder who's either having a whole lot of pain, or I just talked to one woman whose mother was worried about having dementia. And I was like, yeah, I found that my dad was taking Tylenol PM, and that's not good. So people don't even know, you know, you go to the pharmacy and there's a whole wall of Advil PM, Tylenol PM. It's the PM, the Benadryl, that's very anticholinergic and can make someone who otherwise, an elder who's otherwise doing okay, look like they have dementia. So I wanted to get out, you know, there's certain meds you got to stay away from. You got to stay away from the Xanax. You got to stay away from the Ativan. You shouldn't take Motrin or Naprosyn long-term because they can give you heart attack, strokes, dementia, GI bleeds, and kidney failure. So I have some of this information on my website, drlizgeriatrics.com. But I focused more on the dementia because that's where I found the biggest challenges. The book reads kind of like what to expect when you're expecting, starting from when, you know, someone's behavior is just changing. And I think that's the most heartbreaking thing for me, is to see people describe someone with dementia as just, you know, angry old man, and we're going to stay away from him, or, you know, mom's going to get divorced from dad because he's being awful, but dad's got dementia. I mean, I've seen this a number of times, or particularly if there's like a second younger wife and the wife wants all the money and the older man, you know, he has got early dementia, and you know he's going to need more care to make sure that he's protected.
We're talking with Dr. Elizabeth Landsberg. Dr. Liz, drlizgeriatrics.com is her website. Her book is Living in the Moment, and she is on a mission to speak health and insight and wisdom into, as we've all heard, the silver tsunami. In my case, it's Arctic Blonde. Arctic Blonde is the color I'm going through with my hair. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Foxworthy. 65 million Americans serve as a caregiver for a sick or disabled loved one. If you're one of them, then listen to my friend Peter Rosenberger's show. He's got redneck tendencies, but he's really good at what he does.
As a caregiver, think about all the legal documents you need. Power of attorney, a will, living wills, and so many more. Then think about such things as disputes about medical bills. What if, instead of shelling out hefty fees for a few days of legal help, you paid a monthly membership and got a law firm for life? Well, we're taking legal representation and making some revisions in the form of accessible, affordable, full-service coverage. Finally, you can live life knowing you have a lawyer in your back pocket who, at the same time, isn't emptying it. It's called Legal Shield, and it's practical, affordable, and a must for the family caregiver. Visit caregiverlegal.com. That's caregiverlegal.com. Isn't it about time someone started advocating for you? www.caregiverlegal.com. An independent associate.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver, and I am continuing my conversation here with Dr. Elizabeth Landsberg. She's offering some insights to those of us who are finding themselves in a relationship with someone who is experiencing dementia, aging issues, and so forth. A lot of things happen along the way. Are we prepared for it? Of course, I've been a caregiver now for almost 40 years, but I can promise you none of the things I do as a caregiver I learned while I was studying music. They didn't teach me that. My piano professor, I still talk to him. He's in his 80s now and a great friend. And I constantly call him up and say, hey, hey, you didn't cover this day when I was under your tutelage. And that's the way many of us as caregivers are. We don't know. We don't know what the interaction with drugs are. We don't know what a misdiagnosis. We don't even know any of these things. We just know that something's not right, but we don't know what to do. Dr. Liz, you find an enormous amount of people that are struggling with that very issue. What do you do?
So I have a reach out. So I'm on Facebook, Dr. Liz Geriatrics, but there are the dementia support groups. And, you know, those are the people, like I still do telemedicine back in California. And I'm the one that they go to when everything else fails, when they've been through four or five doctors. And what we're doing to approach treating agitation is not very successful. Actually, if we're talking economics and healthcare and all, if someone's so agitated, the family takes them into the hospital, the average length of stay is 60 days or $600,000 for one person for one admit. That's not a really good public health program. So, in fact, I had one, and the family's okay with me talking about it. One gentleman who was at the local medical school hospital with the best psychiatrists and those sorts of things, he was there for 5 months. They said, oh, you should see Dr. Liz. Afterwards, they're like, nah, we'd rather have him go over here. And within a week, he tried to choke one of the other residents. He eloped. And when the police found him, he's a doctor. He said he had chest pain and they took him to the ER. So then they brought me in and I started working with him and he was really angry and all over the place. And with adjusting his meds, I do not sedate elders. And you'll hear these guru doctors saying, oh, you should never use any psych meds because all they're trying to do is sedate elders and control them. Well, no. What we're trying to do is take an angry edge off and allow them to get the care that they need. So anyway, this gentleman I've taken care of for the last year, he's never gone back to the ER. He's not sedated. So I will give you my magic recipe. The first one is get rid of the wrong medications. So you can find it on my website, drlizgeriatrics.com. Sorry, I'm at Starbucks for the Wi-Fi. You can also find it in the book. And there was someone who reviewed my book who said, she speaks about medications too much. I'm like, yeah, because the medications are really important. Someone can look like they have dementia from taking the wrong medication, whether it's Tylenol PM. There's an anti-seizure medicine they like now called Keppra that can make people angry and paranoid. And people are only that way because of the medication. And you don't put on more medication to treat that. You take the wrong medications off. The next thing you do is you treat pain. You know, pain can make people miserable. Pain can make them have depression. Pain can make them just get more angry and reactive. And one of the things that I like to say, my two favorite treatments for agitation are Tylenol and ice cream.
Well, there you go.
the
doctor, look, you have a prescription now. The doctor said it's okay to eat ice cream.
For older people, not for you and me. For older people who are just either stressed or not eating.
So close.
And then I don't use Motrin or Naprosyn long term because they can cause heart attacks, strokes, kidney damage, GI bleeds, and dementia. If you have nerve pain, there's medications to help with that. A low dose of a half a tablet of Norco twice a day for severe arthritis pain often can be really helpful. And I've had no one who's become quite the addict or have trouble breathing or anything like that. You will get in trouble if you're, you know, I've seen some situations where a little old lady with some arthritis was given a fentanyl patch and I was brought in and she looked like she's about to die. And you got to take off the patch. You've got to be careful with the high doses, but a very low dose. If you take care of the pain, that's great. And then I use no Ativan. No Xanax, no medications in the Valium family, because that's like giving them shots of vodka. You become addicted in the same way. But there are other medications that can help. And I'm not going to talk about the specific medications here, but they're on the website. They're in the book. And I get 96% of my folks who've got agitation calm and alert and give them quality of life. And so that's what the goal should be. I'm not sedating them. And I'm also seeing that if people are in the hospitals are desperate to get rid of them. And what they do is they put them on hospice and then sedate them so they don't come back to the hospital. And I find that just unethical. I am horrified at what we do, you know, when it comes to elders that are complicated, or if an elder with dementia has a hip fracture, they don't give them any Norco because, God forbid, you know, they think it's going to make them agitated or delirious. I was like, I want those doctors to have a hip fracture, and then I'm not giving them any narcotics, and we'll see how they like it.
Well, I'll let you deal with the ramifications of that. But you remind me of a bit that Jerry Seinfeld did, where we don't have regular strength anymore. Everything is maximum strength. And he said, whatever will kill the human body, back it off a little bit. That's what I want. You know, and we just throw pills at anything and everything. And we're not thinking healthy. We're just thinking, make me feel better for this moment, without thinking of the implications of what we're doing and putting in our bodies.
Well, part of it is the view of non-geriatric doctors to treating older folks. Like, it's easier for the ER doctor to give Motrin than to give a little Norco, because, you know, if there's any problems, you know, they don't want repercussions on that. But I'm very disappointed in the MD gurus who are selling their, you know, alternative medicine that they can cure dementia. You know, that if you, and I've seen families spend $10,000 in 6 months to take $5,000 worth of useless tests, and then, you know, be filled up with 31 supplement pills a day. That doesn't fix them. And then I get brought in, and then I have to fix it. So I'm very disappointed. There's a lot of, for some reason, a lot of cardiac surgeons are now pushing supplement pills. I guess it's a lot easier than doing cardiac surgery. But I think that having a good plant-based diet and 30 minutes of exercise a day can be very helpful. And then staying engaged with family and community is huge. And then finding a doctor who takes the time to kind of help look through all the problems and get rid of the medications you don't like is probably, you know, the recipe for staying healthy and independent as we age.
Indeed. And that's something that, you know, we mitigate symptoms, but don't treat the whole person, the healthiness of the whole person. And I'm in a lot of doctor's offices, and I have been since I was 22. And I cringe when I see the caregivers and the patients coming in, and it's affecting both. There's always two people affected by some type of long-term impairment. I watch my fellow caregivers, and I see some of them pushing their aging parents in a wheelchair, but the caregiver is morbidly obese. We're not thinking through this. We're trying to just, okay, we're going to mitigate these circumstances, then we'll get on with our life. But this is our life, and it's important that we live today as healthy as we possibly can and make those best decisions. But we do get overwhelmed, and we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. Tell us again about your website, DrLizGeriatrics.com. That's where people can go. Can they post questions there? Just ask any. I know you don't give medical advice in that environment.
No, that's what's coming. So I want to do a community where people can talk about, well, I'm all about, you know, people over 50, you know, because we have a youth culture. And particularly women are kicked to the curb when they hit 50. But I call them my fabulous people, fabulous over 50. And talking about either medical issues or financial issues. I was on the plane with a woman in her 70s, and I was getting divorced 10 years ago or something like that. And she was saying, well, be careful dating over 50, because to a lot of men, you're just a nurse or a purse. So, you know, talking about, you know, what do women have to think about when they're in their 50s, or how do we stay strong and healthy? So, yes, there will be places to post questions. There will be two support groups a month. There will be a training module that you can do that if, you know, to just get the training, but to get the CEU credits for elder care professionals, it's just $15. So we're working to have something sustainable. You know, because I am not seeing things getting better. I'm seeing a lot more physician's assistants and nurse practitioners. And I've done a lot of training of nurse practitioners. I think they can be wonderful, but they don't have the same training as the doctor. So a lot of my elders who are really complicated and go to the emergency room in dire crisis get a PA or something like that, who misses kind of what's going on. And I'm not saying that they're not good, they're not well-meaning, but they don't have the same training. You know, they don't know what they don't know. The Rumsfeld's unknown unknowns about what to quite look at. have concerns about that. So that's why I want to have the community online. And that's why I wrote the book. I just wanted to circle back. So treating agitation is one thing. I think pain, I'm really disappointed that our country has taken an attitude that if you're old, you can be in pain. Most people can be out of pain. And I'm not going to go into all the details now, but it's not just Motrin and Naprosyn. And I almost never use morphine as needed. I've been a hospice medical director and boarded in palliative care. So that is also something that I want to discuss more.
We can do that. I think I'm going to have you back and we'll talk about some of that, because the pain world, of course, we're not dealing on a geriatric level at my house, but the pain world is something that I've spent a lot of time in, and I could see what it does to people. And I think it's affecting so many families. They don't know what to do. Again, they don't know what to do. And that's why I wanted to have you on today to have this conversation and let you share your heart. You have done so, Dr. Liz, Dr. That's Elizabeth fine. Landsverk, drlizgeriatrics.com. And we're very grateful to have you here. Please take advantage of her site, her books, and go out and do some research. Knowledge is power. And the best thing we can do for ourselves as caregivers is to educate ourselves on these things that she's talking about today. Let's don't just blindly walk into these things. Let's get some information into our heads so that we can better help those who we care for. Dr. Liz, thank you. Thanks for taking the time today to come on the program.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for your support. You know, how generous to be supporting all those in need, and in addition to all that you do at home. So I'm in awe. It's inspirational.
You and I share a passion to take what we know and offer the best we can. And I look forward to more conversations with you.
Well, thank you. You have a great day.
You too. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.